Do you like indicate, like when you're driving, do you wave at people?
Yeah.
Just let them know?
Yeah, yeah. What, do the thank you wave?
Yes.
Yeah, but I often don't look at them in the face. You know what I mean? I just give them a sort of a random wave.
Why don't you look them in the face?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't want that contact. I just give them a wave.
Well, you think it might go further?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Do you wave or?
Well, I've noticed of late I'm getting quite conscious of it because, you know, a lot in living in the city, is it like a chicane? You know what a chicane is?
That's like a part of a racing course.
Yeah, where it goes
down the chicane.
Down the chicane, yeah, where it goes from two down to one. And so if someone comes in at the other end, they've got to pull over.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or you have to wait and pull over.
Merging.
And people mainly go the finger.
Oh, yeah, that's a very country thing to do, the one finger.
Just finger, thanks,
thank
mate.
You.
And I don't know, I rack it up for I've done something good today. If I get a finger.
How many people do you let in at a time?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in traffic. There's a side road. The lights are red. You're sitting there going, oh, well, I can see some people are quite eager.
Let one in. Definitely one.
And then the second one always goes,
oh, come on, come on.
Come on, you let one
in. But like the other day I was running late to drop my kids off at an appointment, some medical thing. I let one in. The second one's really, I'm like, oh, and they're in a Porsche. I'm just like, nah, sorry, mate.
So you're judgmental on that.
Yeah,
on
yeah, yeah. He's like, look at the man in the Porsche. I'm like, nah, he's not coming in.
I just drove past, because I find this annoying, when you're driving down and someone's looking for a park, so they just stop on the road, and you're going, and they're waiting for that guy to pull out.
Yeah.
As it worked out, that guy wasn't pulling out, but he had to do a sign.
To say,
and that's
going.
What he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did.
I'm just waving my hand in the air, sort of. No,
he did. I'm waving my. He did. What's this hand? Is that hat hands?
Well, you know what it is. It's like a jazz hands.
Jazz hands. He was doing jazz hands out the window.
Well, that's the thing, because these days with phones, I notice people get in their cars and just sit there on their phone.
Oh, isn't that the most annoying? Here we go. I've got it. I park right near the door, and they're
just checking their phone.
And you're going, seriously, you saw me waiting.
And also they start their car sometimes.
Yeah, red light goes on. But do you do that?
Now, what I do is that I get in there, I don't turn my car, and I slink down in the seat. So no, I can't.
You're a seat slinker.
But occasionally someone will do the toot-toot behind you. You're like, oh, okay, I'll go.
Are you, they give you a, they go, you going to go? What's
you
happening?
Gonna, you going? Yeah, yeah. You going to go?
Anyway, so
the worst is like Chadstone Shopping Centre. So that's a huge Westfield in Melbourne. I was doing this series of gigs in this tent in the Target, in the food court. They had a tent during the comedy festival.
Big gig.
And that was the worst. I'd been to one of those shopping centres for ages, but that whole. And we were talking the other day about Tim Smith, the legendary comedian, the routine about.
Great routine.
He would walk back to the car park dangling his keys in front of people.
Like taunting, just going, look at me. Yeah.
Because that's what happened. You would follow people to their cars.
Yeah. You just go, here comes a guy.
And then someone will go, I'm waiting for someone else. I've got to. And then the whole story, I'm waiting for my daughter who's in there at Sports Girl. And you're like, okay, whatever. Don't worry about it.
What about those car parks now? They have the cars with a pram. That's a car park.
Yeah, I know.
Elderly people, fair enough.
Elderly and disabled, fair enough. But people with kids,
you've got a pram. You've got the baby on wheels. Why do you need to get closer to the?
And I've got kids, but it's like, what?
I don't know.
Yeah. What about men over 55? Hungry men over 55. Fat men. What about a thing for fat men?
Yeah.
Just a fat son of a. What about for fat people?
Yeah, I think the music's coming.
Okay, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related, and now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast. She said her names.
And, you know, she tries her best. I don't, her diction's good, it's a little stilted.
Robotic.
She's listening, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, a bit robotic.
Yeah, anyway, good to be back, and we've been up in...
looks like she's learnt. In a foreign country, she's sort of like an, you know what I mean? She's like a Swiss person who speaks English.
How does she speak again? I don't want to impersonate her because she's listening, but
something like that.
Yeah,
but we have been in Byron Bay.
Well, I've got to rate it. And hello to all the people in Byron Bay who might be listening. The combination of destination, accommodation, gig, people. Best I've ever
food?
Ever had.
Yeah, it's
food
great.
Was great. Mm. Everything about it. I think we have to cut to the chase and say that we lucked out.
With the accommodation.
With the accommodation.
We had a house on the beach.
I mean, when we
in
say
Bolongalo.
On the beach, it was on the beach.
Yeah, no road or alley. Just
walk across the front lawn, down the sand dunes, a little gate, and then dive into the surf. And you went in?
I went in twice.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge swimmer, but I like it. And it was so warm.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you were saying, it'd be perfect holiday place for me and my kids and partner. Because there's three bedrooms, there's two bathrooms.
There was a downstairs area for the TV.
They had video games and stuff. And the kids could go for a swim. There was literally 3 minutes walk to a cafe.
Yep.
And good food.
Good food.
We had good food. And then you looked up on the web how much this, because we didn't hire the house, the promoter.
We were locked in.
Yeah. The women who live up there that organise this festival, they have all friends that own these houses.
But they bought it. He put the house up.
A school auction
said, I'll put my house up for a school auction. And she probably got it for a
cheaper price.
Cheaper price.
So how much was it a night?
$1,750. So it's coming in at 12 grand a week.
Yeah,
12
that's,
grand a week.
You could be in Paris or Bali.
Well, you know, is the guy on the beach for 12 grand a week any better than the guy over the road on the caravan? Because just up the road, they've got the caravan park, which are actually in the same sort of
position.
They're
on the beach.
On the beach. And you get those for about, you know, $100 a night or something.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever, while you were up there, you were there for two nights. I was only there for one night. Mm. But you hung around. You wanted to hang around.
Hemsworth. I don't know if we should talk about that. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, it was hilarious. How Liam Hemsworth turned up, who I didn't really know who he was. But I knew he was married to Miley Cyrus. Well, I didn't know he was married to her. Because how funny are you? You're going, where do you live and who are you married to? I'm like,
He came in, we were doing the show, he came in at interval?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw him walk through the door and it was like meeting an old relative. He was quite
excited to meet you.
Well, he was. He
only had eyes for you though, it's fair to say. You were the only girl in the room. Anyway, whatever. But he's you're going to him. So where do you live in America? And he's like, oh, and I'm like, Miley Cyrus wrote a song about him, Malibu. Oh,
did I say that? And did he say that?
Yeah, he goes, oh, I live in Malibu. I'm like, it's a great song. In Malibu, next to you.
See, you listen to the lyrics. So you're saying that she wrote that in reference to him living in Malibu with him.
Yeah, close to you. She said.
So this was Liam, by the way.
This is Liam. This is not
Chris, who also lives up there.
But we didn't see him. We didn't see Thor.
Well, Chris couldn't. He was home with the kids. I guess we can talk about this. But we did run into, because we do, Dave and I were doing some stand-up together and I was on stage and I do this bit about that I've got a bad head for hats.
Yeah.
And what we do is we pull someone out of the audience and I bring them a beanie and I go, have a look at this beanie.
And he was the guy who, when I said, who's single, stand up as a joke, and he stood up.
Yeah.
I'm like, sit down, mate, I'm joking, all right?
And I'm going to say, he was a good-looking, ripped guy. So what happened was we got him up on stage, he put the beanie on, he looked really cool, and then they put the beanie on me and I looked, you know, not so cool.
Daggy, yeah.
And he then takes a photograph, puts it on his Instagram. It works out it's Chris Hemsworth's trainer.
Yeah, and those guys, they're all like his entourage, those guys. Yeah. All hanging out with him. Yeah.
So then I'm getting texts back from Melbourne saying, I saw you on stage with the beanie. I mean, I'm so out of touch with that stuff. But
let me ask you this. And also Bernard Fanning was there.
Bernard Fanning.
And Madeline West.
Madeline West.
And Shannon Bennett, the chef.
It was. And what had happened was
Hollywood.
We went out for dinner before the gig and then we walked to the venue, got there a bit early, which was a mistake because before a gig, you kind of like just to chill out. And it was like Showbiz Central.
It was incredible.
It was just. And
Hollywood on the Gold Coast has moved to Byron. Hollywood and the Byron.
Yeah, and we were working the room, and let's not say who you were talking to, but let's just say Dave O'Neill in the talking stakes is an Olympian. He can talk to anyone.
For any length of time.
He could talk.
Yeah, like my dad's similar. He can talk. Yeah. Same with mum. Talk to anyone.
Yep. And you got outdone.
I got beaten by someone. I had to go get some fresh air. The small talk was killing me. And of course, you know, when like Bernard Fanning said, I don't know if I've ever met, he's the lead singer of Powderfinger.
Yeah, I think I met him on the panel.
Love Powderfinger.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have talked to him about music.
And did you not get the chance to talk to him?
No, he shook my hand, but that was about it.
God, I'm thinking of, yeah. So, you know.
Oh, well. Anyway. No, answer me this question before we get to topics. Yeah. When you were up there, did you have thoughts of moving to Byron Bay?
Of course, every time. Yeah. Did you?
You can see why. No, because I remember my brother who lives overseas telling me this joke. He goes, this is very popular with the expat community. So this
This your is, your brother.
He lives in Switzerland. He's Indian. Oh, if you know. And so anyway, so this guy goes to hell. The devil goes, you can, he dies, right? And he goes, you got a choice. You can go to hell and just see what it's like for a day.
Yeah.
And he goes for a day and he goes, oh, he loves it because it's warm and there's rock and roll and there's sex and there's drugs. And he goes, oh, this is great. He goes to the devil, can I come to hell, you know, full time now? I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to hell. He goes, yeah, okay, all right. And so he goes and he moves into hell, right? A couple of weeks go by, he goes, oh, no, this is, it's too hot for him. Mm. There's too much noise. There's too much drugs. Mm. And all the things he liked, he starts to not like. And he goes to the devil, I don't think I like hell anymore. I really loved it. And the devil goes, huh, that's the difference between a holiday and immigration.
Yeah. Well, yep.
Do you reckon that would happen in Byron? The things that you really
like?
Well, they call it the eight,
I think they give it the 8-month rule. People last about 8 months.
Yeah.
And they head back, whether it's there or Gold Coast or.
Because we've all had friends move up there. And I think, and the ones I know, the girls I know that moved up there, both moved back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in an ideal world, what we should form is a commune up there.
Well, yeah.
For comedians to go.
Timeshare
in the winter.
Beautiful.
And, but yeah, you get that. I mean, but we had a $1,800 a night place on the beach. Yeah. Why wouldn't you think you want to live there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but having said that, all the people that were up there, most of the people I met had moved from Sydney or Melbourne.
True.
And I said, how's it going? I'm thinking they're going to go, oh, missing the culture. Go, no, we love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, good, the woman who community. Drove me to the airport loved it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's get our topics. All right. We should get our topics, shouldn't we? And Sam, sorry we couldn't take you to Byron, by the way. Next time. What are the topics, Sam?
Jimi Hendrix and Bob Brown.
Okay, let's just bring that up to speed. That would be the Bob Brown.
From the Greens. Dr. Bob Brown.
Who is now retired. From the Greens. He's a doctor, is he?
A medical doctor.
He's a doctor.
Tasmanian, gay man. I met him.
Was he one of the first to admit to his...
Oh, my God. Go on. To admit to his what?
Well, his sexual leniency.
Oh, yeah, in Parliament, probably.
Yeah,
well,
he's probably one of the first.
Yeah, probably. You're right. Yeah, probably. Because it's definitely been a few in the closet, that's for sure.
Because they've got a closet there up in
Parliament.
Canberra. Yeah.
Yeah.
For that.
Clive tried to get in it, couldn't fit. They voted him out. I met Bob Brown once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, 1982, whatever. Actually, the same day I met Bob Hawke. So me and a guy called Carl Kruger at school wagged. We were doing year 12. And we went into the Fitzroy Gardens in Melbourne to go to a No Dams protest.
Good for you.
Because Carl was very politically motivated.
So were you. Or you're just tagging along.
Oh, no, I was. I was definitely into politics and stuff. And then Bob Hawke was standing by the side of the stage with Bob Brown. So I went up and shook both their hands. And
you'd love meeting those guys.
Yeah, and I said to Bob, nice to meet you, Prime Minister. And he wasn't. He was opposition leader. And he goes, I'm not the Prime Minister yet. And then he goes, then he looks at him and goes, why aren't you boys at school? And Carl goes, we're wagging to come to this. He goes, oh, yeah, good on you boys. Yeah. Bob approved.
Anyone who goes to school today would be a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't remember saying much to Bob Brown, but he was definitely there. He was definitely making a speech and stuff. And then I've read his book. Someone gave me, I did a benefit for the Greens once, and they gave me a signed copy of his book.
Was he leader of the Greens?
Yeah.
I know any time he spoke, I would tend to listen.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
His book was good too.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? I've got a signed book from him. I finished it. I want to put it in the op shop, but I feel bad. But then again, that would be a good re-gift, wouldn't it?
That's what I did to you.
To my book, yeah.
If you don't know that story,
it's a classic.
Dave was going to an opportunity shop.
Well, actually, it wasn't me. It was actually Tony Moclair.
And
a friend of the show.
And where does he live?
Tony lives in Fairfield near me.
Okay, so he lives, this is interesting, he lives on the other side of town from me.
But the op shop was in St Kilda. Yeah.
But I don't drop my stuff there.
I don't know. Your op shop starts being distributed across Melbourne.
Oh, really?
I don't know how it works. But anyway, he rang me. He gave me the book. He goes, oh, I've got something really funny for you. He said he found my book. But when I tell the story, I say I was in the op shop and my wife finds it. Yeah. Anyway, it's a book I gave to you. Signed.
Because I like you. I've got a couple of books too for you.
Oh, good.
I like you sort of go, well, I've read it. What's the point of it sitting on my...
I don't hang on to books.
Yeah. So, you know, as I say in our stand-up, I was robbed. And,
you're robbed.
Yeah, I was robbed. And that guy obviously had a good taste in books and took your book. I, especially with those, there's a tendency to, you know, and nowadays, anyway, we've been watching that Maria Kondo.
Oh, yeah. Have you watched her? Joy. No, I don't want to watch. No. My wife was a very early adopter of her. But as I've said before, my wife has got so many decluttering books by the bedside table, they're cluttering up the house. There's so much clutter with clutter books, decluttering books.
But she blesses the house.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, Marie Kondo lives by herself, doesn't she?
She's got kids.
Oh, she's got kids?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought she was just in a flat. So it'd be easy in your flat to, you know, no. So when you stay in a hotel room, you can keep it clean, can't you? Because it's just you.
Yeah. Bit embarrassing.
Okay, there we go.
Because I know about Maria Kondo.
Maria Kondo.
I like her. Anyway, Bob Brown.
So Bob Brown, yeah, he was a legendary leader and he resigned.
Doctor. Did he have – he resigned when?
Retired.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Was he the one that heckled Bush?
I think he might have been.
Was that – did he publicly do it? Did he do it in Parliament or did he do it
– Mark Latham was the one who said there was a conga line of suckholes to meet him. See, you always had good quips, Mark Latham.
A conga line of suckholes
to meet Bush.
Well, every time I get into a conga line now, I'm going to think about that.
Conga line of suckholes. But Brown, yeah, he possibly did heckle.
Did Brown live...
in Tasmania.
Yes, but did he not do his early years in London?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He was a doctor, yeah, I don't know. Some of that, yeah, possibly, yes. Possibly.
I say that in reference to, well, we can get to Jimi Hendrix in a minute, but I say that in reference to Jimi Hendrix. Anyway, that's something that I'm tweaking at.
All right. Well, what else can we say about Bob Brown?
What else can you say?
Yeah, say about the Greens. You know,
he did great work.
He did great work. He was their greatest leader.
You're up on politics. Does he have a legacy?
Yeah, definitely. Bob Brown, definitely. Well, who's the current leader? Can you name the current leader of the Greens?
Yeah, no.
Richard Di Natale. Who looks a lot like Adam Bandt, the member for Melbourne. So they get mistaken for each other.
I met him the other day.
Adam Bandt or Richard Di Natale?
One of them. Whoever the who's got the glasses?
They both got glasses. Me and Hughes did a gig in, where was it, Above Lawn. So, yeah, and he lives down there. He lives in around Dean's Marsh, that kind of area.
Oh, they're very, very strong down there.
And he was at this gig. It's just like it was a footy club gig. And he's just there, and I go, oh. And he goes, yeah, I'm Richard from the Greens. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, hang on, mate. Did we argue on Twitter? Richard's going, yes, we had an argument on Twitter. What do you see? I can't remember what it was
about. He's very flattering to me. Just said, I saw him at Channel 10. But it was one of those things, when you see someone, I knew that he was a politician, but I didn't know his name.
Yeah.
And he said, I enjoy your work.
Oh, there you go.
Well, and I don't know that much of his work. So I couldn't say. What do you say at that point? Do you say enjoy yours too?
I had him on the radio the other day after the election, and he spoke very well. Actually, he seemed because he's a doctor, and a proper doctor like Bob. As my mum said, he's a doctor, but not a real doctor. You know, like, you know, one of my brothers got a doctorate in something. You know, and mum goes, he's a doctor, but not a real doctor. So she means medical doctors. And you know, when someone's a medical doctor, and you hear them speak, they always have a bit more weight, don't they?
So who does a really good routine about the guy who's a doctor of aromatherapy, and he turns up to a car accident.
Stand back.
I'm a doctor of aromatherapy. Get me some ylang ylang and some lavender, quickly.
Yeah, who does that?
I don't know, but it's a good joke.
Funny.
Good.
Not Luke Heggie, is it?
It's an American guy.
Oh, okay.
So we can steal from American
people. All right, that's cool. So I think after he left, they've struggled a bit, the Greens, because they were peaking for a while, but now at the recent election, they're just
How many do they get?
They get one seat in...
The Senate?
One seat
downstairs.
In the House of Reps.
In the rumpus room. Yeah.
And then maybe one or
two. In the good room.
A few in the Senate.
Mm. How many does it take to make a party?
I don't know. Two or three? Yeah.
Pauline get back in?
She's already in because she didn't have to stand for election.
It's a half Senate. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. I only know because I was reading about it today in the paper. Jackie Lambie got back in, though. Who's good?
I don't want to get political.
I like Jackie Lambie.
I like her too. Yeah.
Just a bargain.
Straight up.
And what she say to ScoMo? You've got to treat me better this time. Good on her.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we've said everything we can say about.
Yeah. Well, that's Jimi Hendrix.
I do know something about Bob Brown.
Yeah.
Before you get to Jimi Hendrix, I read this the other day. I don't know why I read it. When he was, because he was one of the guys that used to do the examinations for people going to Vietnam.
Yes.
And if you didn't want to go. he would go, okay, well, just write it up that you're not.
Oh, yeah, he would have been anti-Vietnam, definitely. Yeah, yeah, wow.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, wow.
Because in those days, if you were.
So Trump must have seen him.
if you were.
Have you ever read about Trump's, the reason he got out of Vietnam?
No.
The doctor that wrote the thing rented a room in Trump's dad's building. So, oh,
really?
Yeah, yeah. Rented his practice in Trump's dad's building.
It's
yeah.
probably not relevant, but there's a book out at the moment about Trump and how he plays golf. And he's
Is he a good golfer?
Yeah, but he's can oh will Trump be listening? He cheats, and does that mean they're going to blow up my house?
No,
but he does really he does really good stuff. He not really good stuff. He does a thing where he owns the golf course.
Yeah.
So then he plays the golf course. He's the first person to play it. So therefore, at that point, he has the course record. So he writes it up on the wall.
No.
He does.
Fantastic. What a great idea.
And then he, what else does he do? He'll often be, if he can't get there for the club championships, there's stories where he would turn up and he would be halfway through his round and he'd meet the guy who won the club championships. And he'd go, I couldn't make it, so I'll play for the championships over the next six holes. And then they play and then he will...
Oh my god!
He'll hit balls onto a green, or he'll hit his ball in the water, and then his caddy will go up and just put his ball on the green and say, and they go, "I think yours went in the water." And go, no, here it is. Here, it's kind of the caddy's in on it.
It's wow!
It's just interesting, isn't it? I mean,
how big is this book about Trump and golf?
Well, I don't know. You can look it up, but it's a friend of mine just read it and said it was fascinating because if you relate that to the way he approaches
politics, it's life.
If you cheated a game. I mean, it's a stick and a ball and a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Anyway. Good on Bob Brown. I got to say double ticks. Triple ticks.
Yeah, he's good a good bloke. He's a good human.
So, now.
Jimi Hendrix. Remember Michael Winslow used to do that imitation of him?
Yeah.
His guitar.
Hendrix used to play with his teeth.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean.
Speaking of the army, Hendrix was in the, he was a paratrooper. I'm sure he was in the, I don't know if he went to Vietnam, but he was definitely in the army for a while.
He was left-handed, played the guitar.
Was he left-handed?
Like Paul McCartney. He play the guitar upside down? Oh, hang on.
Okay,
I know that he played the guitar upside down.
Okay, all right.
Hang on, so that means that he was...
Yeah, he's been on Speaks and Specs 54 times.
Is he left-handed?
I don't know, idea.
Can you ask Sam?
Is Jimi Hendrix left-handed?
And also, did he play his guitar... upside down, because if he's that's Andy played it with his teeth, he's working hard, isn't he?
Oh, God.
Jimi Hendrix play a right-handed guitar upside down, which was restrung for his left-handed preference. This also flipped the pickups on his Fender guitar.
I'm confused now.
Okay, so basically, like, you know, I play a bit of guitar, whatever.
You play bass, didn't you?
I play bass.
What was the name of the band?
Noiseworks. Anyway, whatever. The Models, In Excess. We're one of those bands. I can't really remember. The Reels. I was a bass player in The Reels. No, we were called Captain Coco. We weren't very good.
I remember seeing you on the Saturday morning show.
Yeah, we were on that.
What's his name?
Alex Papps and Andrew Datto.
Andrew Datto, and Andrew wasn't very happy with you.
No, before he interviewed us, he turned to me when the camera was off and he said, "Hey, remember, mate, I do the funny stuff around here."
I
told you that once and you said, "Well, we're still waiting, Andrew." That's a great comment.
Did I say that?
Sure,
I don't think I said that.
Okay, Andrew, maybe you didn't say it.
But that's like
someone said that on stage with me once.
He was in. He did. I can't remember the show, but he did a guest spot. He was a barman in a show, and then there was the other well-known actor that I won't say his name, and he decided his character was going to put a tea towel over his shoulder.
Yes. That was in Blue Heelers.
Was it?
That was in Blue Heelers.
And what did the actor go?
The barman goes, "Hey mate, I do the tea towel over the shoulder here." Get the tea towel off your shoulder.
I do tea towel over shoulder, mate. That's fantastic.
That was Blue Heelers. I don't know who played the barman. Anyway, what it means is that he was left-handed. Okay, yeah. Now you can buy specially made left-handed guitars. Like Paul McCartney's a left-handed guitar player, right?
You're good. 54 times. No wonder he the show so much.
But he obviously, he just got right-handed guitars restrung so that they were just, he could play them on the left hand. So basically, he got the strings taken off and put on the proper way to play on the left hand. Too hard?
Why not play a left-handed guitar?
Yeah, I know. And also, what happens then is that the sound of the guitar changes. So that was important to his sound, because the sound of the guitar changes, because it's not made to be played like that. It's made to be played with the strings on the other way.
No one knew he was going, wah, 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 wah,
so it gives a different sound.
Wah, 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 wah.
So maybe, and they reckon that's one of the reasons why he was so unique in playing. That was one of the reasons. Mm. What else do we know? He headlined Woodstock. I know that.
Died at 27.
27.
But isn't there a classic lineup of
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
27.
The other female. The
Janis Joplin.
Yep.
27.
Yep.
Daryl Braithwaite.
No, Daryl's still here.
Daryl's still here.
Yeah. Doing all right.
John Farnham, he's still here. I'm trying to think of. Yeah, no, there is a whole club of 27-year-olds who died.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's imagine 27. Age. He had achieved so much good music.
I saw an interview with him.
I thought you were going to say, I saw him, full stop. I saw him.
I saw an interview with him on, because when you think about Hendrix, you don't think about interviews, do you?
No, I can't remember him being interviewed. I just think of the Watchtower song and, you know.
Who was the bloke who was big in the 80s or was it the 70s? He used to put a tube into his mouth.
Oh, Peter Frampton.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that?
Oh, Peter. You know, Peter Frampton's a well-known right-wing nut now, nut job.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah, Peter Frampton. You look him up and see what his political views are. Sam, what are Peter Frampton's political views? Because Peter Frampton had a great song. Oh, Baby, I Love Your Way.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, my brother great had that. Song. I bet you one of your brothers had that album, or maybe you had it. Oh, Frampton Alive?
Yeah.
Frampton Alive?
Yeah. It was Frampton Alive.
Oh, Baby, I Love Your Way.
That's pretty
every
good.
Day.
Captain Coco.
It's a great song.
Acoustic.
I want to tell you I love your way. People be loving that.
I always get that mixed up because at the same time, Neil Diamond was big. Good Lord.
Yeah, like great song, great
yeah,
song.
Same period.
I think you're saying Neil Young.
Did I say Neil Young?
No.
Neil Diamond, yeah.
Neil Diamond.
So,
Dave, I'm not sure what you're talking about. There's nothing I can find about Peter's political views. Peter, if you're listening, get in touch.
Oh, maybe I was thinking of someone else. Maybe I was thinking of Peter.
Mm.
Peter someone.
Lucky that didn't come up on Spicks and Specs. You would have been embarrassed.
Peter Frampton's.
Yeah.
You maybe thinking of Boss Gags. Sam, no, don't. Let's not go down that. Let's not go down that.
No, hey, listen, there's something else that I, because you know in London you can do the Jack the Ripper walk.
Yeah.
You can go to the war, you can go to Churchill's war rooms.
Mm.
Did you know that you can go to Hendrix's flat?
Go to his flat?
Yeah.
I'm going to London soon. Should I go to his flat?
Well, I don't know.
What's in his flat if I need to pick up some marijuana? I wonder if he's a big drug user. He looks like he was, doesn't he?
When I saw him interviewed on Dick Cavett.
Yeah, so what happened?
Nothing much, but you could tell he was a sensitive, very gentle soul. You would imagine him to be a bit more rock and roll, but he was a very sort of alt, I don't want to categorize him, but he was kind of, no, he wasn't into stardom or fame or he was downplaying all of that and sort of like was reluctant to acknowledge who he really was. So, but his fight would be, interesting, but I'm heading towards something here. Something's clicking for me. Something's
all right. Well, should we have some thinking music?
Then, but we can't have any Hendrix because we don't have any
rights to play it. All right. Well, know what we should do? Right. We should get Michael Winslow doing his Jimi Hendrix impression.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because he's toured Australia and he does it. I've heard him do it. I've been in the studio when he does it. It's amazing.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. He's a guy from the Police Academy
movies. Yeah. He was out here for a few years ago. Yeah. Interesting cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's unusual.
Yeah.
Unusual person. Yeah. Quite unusual.
Nothing wrong with him, but, yeah, he's kind of on his own.
Oh, he's on his own wavelength.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Some of those guys are, though, those comics have been around forever.
Yeah. But he, anyway. Oh, that's good. So let's hear a little bit of
Michael Winslow's impression of Jimi Hendrix.
I'm going to dedicate this song to Bob Dylan simply because... I don't understand it. So let me get ready here. I'm ready.
You go and then I'll go. You reckon you've got a connection between Jimi Hendrix and Dr. Bob Brown, the former leader of the Greens?
Well, they both lived, I'm pretty sure Hendrix, well, obviously Hendrix lived in London.
Well, you
Bob
visit
Brown
his flat.
Lived in London.
Mm.
I reckon Bob Brown.
They shared a bong? No. They shared some green stuff. And that's where he got the idea for the Greens. Hey, man. Maybe he wrote the first manifesto of the Greens with Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, geez, yours is way out there, dude. Mine's just going to be that Bob Brown lived in his flat.
Oh, Bob Brown lived in his flat.
Maybe.
You know what? Actually, I'm changing mine. You said before Bob Brown used to knock back people for Vietnam.
Yeah.
When they wanted to not go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Maybe because Jimi Hendrix was in the army. Maybe Jimmy came to him.
Oh, that's a good answer.
And said, hey, man, I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
And Bob Brown said, I want to be a political leader. All right, we'll just sign this form. All right, should we get the answer?
Yeah.
What's the answer, Sam?
Bob Brown, founder and former leader of the Australian Greens Party, was a young doctor at St. Mary Abbott's Hospital in South Kensington when Jimi Hendrix was admitted. Hendrix was dead on arrival at the hospital after drinking too much red wine and taking too many sleeping tablets. Hendrix had choked on his own vomit. On the 40th anniversary of Hendrix's death, Bob Brown spoke to ABC Radio about the moment when Hendrix arrived at the hospital.
Well, it was a big surprise, of course. It was a sunny morning at St. Mary Abbott's Hospital in South Kensington, and here came the trolley from the ambulance with the body of Jimi Hendrix and his girlfriend and other people with him, but there was nothing to be done. And I was not one to be following all the music of the day, but I knew who he was, of course. Everybody did. And I knew that this was a terrific loss, not just of his life, but of a talent for the world of music.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I was closest.
Do you reckon if you met Bob Brown, would you...
ask him about that?
Ask him about that?
Yeah, I would.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, he probably downplays it though, Bob. He probably goes, you know, I wasn't there, I was somebody else, you know.
I tell you what, I was there when Elton John came in. With what?
But in a way... it's good that he wasn't because he passed away.
Yeah.
So you could sort of go to Bob, what did you do?
And what happened, Bob?
And then Bob can sort of go, if I had been there.
Yeah, could have saved him.
Could have, you know, saved him and he'd be still doing his wah, wah, wah.
He'd probably be doing a pub tour now and doing the Chelsea Heights Hotel, the Shopping Town Hotel.
It's interesting. I mean, if he was still around, would he be still...
the DYRSL.
Here's a question for a bloke who's been on Spicks and Specs. Mm. Are there people of that generation still playing?
Yeah, definitely.
Like Van Morrison, would he be that generation? Yep. Yeah, who else?
Yep. Oh, Neil Young still plays. Good Bob question. Dylan still plays. There's quite a few of them still play. A lot of those guys.
So Hendrix could come out with his upside down backwards guitar.
Yeah.
And play it with his teeth.
Paul McCartney still plays.
But his teeth would probably come out though.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones still play.
There's a documentary on Netflix about them.
Oh, incredible. And it's quite,
just between you and me, though.
Yeah.
Do they still sound good?
Oh, they would sound good.
They still sound good.
I've never seen them, but I've heard from Brian Nankervis, friend of the show.
Still said they're red hot. Oh,
apparently they're great. Did you see that great footage on social media of Mick Jagger warming up in a gym or something after his heart attack?
He's had a heart, something put in, hasn't he? Yeah. Or good on you. I reckon he's one of those people that you like him, and I reckon if you met him, you wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Mm. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, in Byron Bay.
What?
Tell us who else you got a text message from. Yeah, apart from the Hemsworths, apart from Bernard Fanning, apart from Madeline Wares, apart from Shannon Bennett.
You want me to name drop?
Friday night, was it? After the gig, or Saturday morning, you got a little text message from.
But the full story is.
Yeah.
Can I say what the full story was?
Sure.
Because the night before, I got Chris Hemsworth, trainer, up on stage.
Yeah, we got him. Yeah.
So. He then
takes a photo, puts it on Instagram.
Yeah. And then also he trains other, I would imagine, famous people in the area.
Yeah.
And then I got a text from Pat Rafter.
Pat Rafter.
You loved it, didn't you? I got a text from Pat Rafter saying, heard you're in town. Do you want to go for a surf?
Wow.
And I said, Pat, stop bothering me. He wants, you know, I'm not going to help you with your tennis game or whatever.
Yeah.
As it worked out, you and I were cooking a beautiful breakfast at the time.
Hey. Yeah.
You were cooking.
Eggs and bacon.
We had it in our.
Beautiful.
We must have looked like three guys staying in a house. What did we look like?
Oh, just, you know.
Some sort of cult.
Some sort of men's group. But anyway, you didn't end up catching up with him.
Well, I've only got so many.
I know.
I've got the Hemsworths on the go. I got, you know.
Burden wants to have a jam with you. And Shannon wants to cook you a meal.
And I went down onto the beach. And how's this? This is interesting.
Yeah.
Went for a walk and I thought, oh, what's that thing? Because I looked out into the water. You see people going, this is this board, you know, a hydrofoil?
Yeah.
So this guy's riding a board, not on a wave, just out the back, and it's a hydrofoil. It's coming out of the water. It's a motorized hydrofoil.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. So I'm watching it for a while because I'm thinking maybe I can buy one. Mm. Walk down the beach, such a small world, and I walk up to the guy, and it's Shannon Bennett.
Oh, really?
Shannon Bennett. I can ask, because he'd come the night before.
Did he give you a go?
Well, he goes, do you want to go? And I went, yeah.
And how was it?
Well, no, he got on and rode off and didn't see him again.
What's he doing?
I don't know. He should. Well, I guess he didn't know where I was staying and stuff. And
do you want to go? See you later. I'll come back in a minute.
But it looked like something out of a future. You know, like the
hoverboard.
Like in what's that movie?
Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Like, and it just rises up out of the water, but you can't. I was thinking about getting one, but you can't be 150 meters within.
Oh, okay.
Of people.
Because motorized.
And you got to charge it up, which is pretty boring.
And
I don't know. It's not a good look walking down. It's not as cool walking down the beach with a surfboard on your right, as opposed to one with a big hydrofoil poking out, banging people on the head as you walk down the beach.
Maybe he went back to the future.
What is he?
Maybe went back to the,
He's living in Byron now, riding around in a hydrofoil, not worrying about.
His restaurants.
I think he comes down a little bit, does a little bit of work.
I assume so.
But I was thinking, because he lives up there with Madeline West. So I was thinking about this.
They've got a lot of kids,
too. What would dinner time be like? What would he be whipping up? We'd be just be doing
basic stuff.
He'd be doing
what? I reckon pastas. Yeah. Pastas? And I reckon she would even cook. I reckon Madeline would be doing the cooking. And he'd sit there and go,
Not how I do.
4 out of 10.
Yeah. Have you played it up yet? Presentation not great.
Is this your signature dish?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, cool.
Anyway. So there you go. We've been showbiz enough. I think we need to stop name dropping. Very nice.
If you're looking for another podcast, why not tune in to me, Carl Quinn, and my co-host, Andrew Young, on The Clappers, where we talk film, TV, theatre, music, art, books, all kinds of things. And let's not forget, cycling. That's us on The Clappers. Search for The Clappers where you're listening now.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.